thank you for the moment we're in. Now may the scriptures and the spirit become one through the power of the Holy Spirit and the belief in the truth. May sanctification carry us into Christ and into being received with him in glory. And may new things open we haven't seen before. Amen. Sorry, Colossians chapter 3. I'm going to just start with four verses. And I will just, this is a foundation verse that every one of us in Jubilee are to embrace and to just accept. We don't have to believe truth, just receive truth. Trying to believe what you've yet not given the reset, we have not received often makes it a difficult cart before the horse. Just say, oh, it's in the Bible. It's true. I receive it. Don't get it, but I receive it. Colossians chapter 3, verse 1, please. If then you were raised with Christ, past tense. How many were raised with Christ? Just show me your hands. All right. Seek those things which are above, heavenly, above, right? Where Christ is. Where is Christ? Seated at the right hand of majesty, or seated at the right hand of God, or seated at the right hand of the throne of God. He's in heaven, seated at the right hand of God. Location, location, location. Where you sit matters. You see, I'm keeping myself on task. Where Christ is sitting at the right hand of God. Okay? Set your mind. The mind is the active use of your thought and emotion and beholding and imagination, and it's a disposition. It isn't like, it's like, you know how somebody who's into sports, they're always thinking about sports, and they put these license plates that says go this team, go that team, because they have a disposition to it. They have an interest. He said, set your mind, practice, meditate, imagine, and expand on the things above, where, not on the things on the earth. So we do recognize there's a war. Somebody's trying to pull us down. God's trying to pull us up. God can pull us up with ease because there's nothing on the earth that can hold us unless we begin to fix our attention toward it, and then it sucks the life out of us. But once we look up, whew, there we go. For you died. And your life is hidden with Christ in God. Now, when you set mind on truth, you see, truth is the essence of spiritual vision and revelation, is truth. So truth allows me, gives me permission to imagine, what in the world? Talk about can't get lost. If I died, but my life is really hidden with Christ. Remember, if you're crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live, yet not I, but Christ lives in me. So if my life is hidden with Christ inside God, I mean, that can right there pretty much deflect every demonic harassment, every emotional baggage, shame and blame and all. My life is hidden with Christ in God. Just say that about 15 times through the week or through the day. My life is hidden with Christ in God. Jesus is my life. My life is hidden with Jesus Christ in God. My life is hidden with... Well, why don't you try it? My life is hidden with Christ in God. My life is hidden with Jesus Christ in God. One more time. My life is hidden with Jesus Christ in God. See, religion is supposed to influence you. If it doesn't influence you, it's just information. And I don't mean religion in a bad sense then. I mean it in the true sense, where it's a relationship with someone we cannot see but is more real than the person next to us. Now, you start believing that, then watch out. Verse 4 comes alive. When Christ, who is our life, appears, then you also will appear with him in glory. Let's try that one. When Christ, who is our life, appears, then you also will appear with him in glory. Whoa. Okay, let's go back to verse 1. We want to just, this 4 verses, commit to memory through meditation and pondering, and watch how powerful it is. Let's read it together in honor of the living word in Christ Jesus. Let's all stand up together and read it as a declaring the decree the Lord has said to me. This is God's decree to us, the body of Jesus. And let's read it together. If then you were raised with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ is sitting at the right hand of God. Set your mind on things above and not on things on earth. For you died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, appears, then you also will appear with him in glory. Yeah. Now, keep standing. My shoe's untied. That's what I keep feeling. Just one moment. It's bugging me. All right. Back to verse 1, secret of the scripture. If it's directed toward me, I can turn it around and make it a confession for me. Since I have been raised with Christ, I seek those things which are above, where Christ is sitting at the right hand of God. Doesn't matter exactly how you say it, but we're going to turn it into a personal declaration because this is truth. I have been raised with Christ, therefore I seek those things above. Amen? Let's try it together. I have been raised with Christ. I seek those things which are above, where Christ is sitting at the right hand of God. I set my mind on things above, not on things of the earth. For I died, and my life is hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is my life, appears, then I also will appear with him in glory. Yes, Lord. I'm sure you can be seated. Thank you. I'm sure you can start to feel the truth move from the head to the heart. And the heart starts to believe, because it's the heart that believes, not the head. The heart that believes. And you start to believe, it starts to influence all outward workings. It works from the spirit, it works into the soul, it works into the body, it changes my thought focus, and next thing you know, what I'm saying is like a rudder of a ship, or like a steering wheel of a car, and I start moving in the direction I'm speaking. And I get a believing heart with a speaking mouth. What we just did was pray. That's what we just did. We just prayed by declaring truth and turning it as a declaration, agreement. It begins to influence. You don't have to believe to be influenced. You just have to speak and accept what you're saying as truth. And over time, the truth you'll know. The truth will know you. You'll know the truth, and the truth will know you. Jesus is the truth, and you will be free. And it's so sometimes it may take a little while to just kind of redirect our emotions, our thought, our attention, but once we do, the whole Bible's ready. So let me take you now to an extraordinary truth, Revelation chapter 7, and I believe we'll begin, let me find out where we'll begin. And then I want to go to Hebrews, Lord willing, and we'll close with that. We're going to begin in Revelation verse 9. My hope is, if you will be, in addition to signing up, paying up, and planning to come and getting the time off, read the book of Hebrews as much as you can between now and the 23rd of September. Place yourself in it and discover the message of the high priest that Jesus stepped into, and begin to. One thing you can do in your first run through, highlight every time you read the word better. Because better means stronger, superior, a more all sufficient. And you'll be surprised at all of it. It goes all the way from verse chapter 1 to 13. So, after these things, John is in a vision. I looked and I behold, looked and I beheld, I looked and behold, I looked and behold, I saw a great multitude which no one could number, of all nations, tribes, peoples, and tongues, standing before the throne and before the Lamb, clothed with white robes and with palm branches in their hands, and crying out with a loud voice, saying, salvation belongs to our God who sits on the throne and to the Lamb. There's a declaration to decree, a decree to declare. Salvation belongs to our God who sits on the throne and to the Lamb. All the angels stood around the throne, and the elders and the four living creatures fell on their faces before the throne and worshiped God. Whenever truth is declared that has been decreed and agreement begins to flow, it opens the gravitational force of the of Christ in his fullness of the throne, and everything starts to fall down. Four living creatures, 24 elders, rest of the angels. And all that we can do at that moment, because truth is standing before us, we have to worship. So they say, amen, blessing and glory and wisdom, thanksgiving and honor and power and might be to our God forever and ever. Again, we're seeking the things above. We get to enter in if we want. We're not out on the backs. We're not waiting for this to get onto a DVD or go live streaming. It's now. So let's say it together. Amen. Blessing and glory and wisdom, thanksgiving and honor and power and might be to our God forever and ever. Amen. Then one of the elders answered, saying to me, who are these arrayed in white robes, and where did they come from? I personally, for the last 7 years, have been given a charge by the Holy Spirit to live here. What I say by live here is I set my mind on this place above. I consider this a current truth to be experienced as it unfolds, and it's a place of dwelling with Christ in heavenly places. So they say, who are these and where did they come from? He says to them, as Ezekiel learned, sir, you know. God never asks a question to see if we know the answer. He asks the question so we'll pause so he can give us the answer. So he said to me, these are the ones who come out of great tribulation. That word "the" is New King James, you know, kind of wimpy stuff. Like it's, you know, saying as though the book of Revelation is the great tribulation and only the people that go through the book of Revelation get to enjoy all of this glorious white robe stuff. No, as far as I'm concerned, there is no the great tribulation. Every tribulation I go through is great. And I have one choice in the great tribulation I'm going through, which is a testing. It's a testing. It's a pressure. It says they've come out of the great tribulation, and they washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. What does that mean? I'm applying redemption like we did in communion. I'm applying that in him, in Jesus, I have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins. And if you were to follow the full spectrum of redemption, we just did in Ephesians chapter 1, verse 7, I don't know how many verses we went on. Redemption always begins with blood, always continues with the blood, and it always means I'm being forgiven, and forgiveness is being extended, and I'm experiencing new covenant truth. I'll be merciful to your unrighteousness. Your sin and lawless deeds I'll remember no more. So when I get convicted of selfishness or being in the flesh or losing my temper or coming off with some stupid idea and later having a chance to realize it was a stupid idea, and I come along and I say, Lord, Father, forgive me. I know immediately all I'm doing is agreeing with forgiveness that's already been extended. It's not being given. It's already there. So the more I know that, the more I say, Father, forgive me. Thank you that you do. I'm so grateful. I just recognized something, but I already realized you paid for it way back then. So the blood keeps me in a union. I'm not worried about where I am. I don't know. I don't try to fix what I just did. I just received Jesus. But the outcome of the future will be one day everything will be gathered together from every place, every nook and cranny of all time, all families, heaven and earth, into Christ. That's how redemption ends. One body, one head. All of us members, all of us at peace, all of us rejoicing in Christ without conflict or fear or competition. Just, oh, I love being in you and I love being in the body I'm in you. So here we see it. They've been working it, the blood. They've been recognizing that, no, the blood is my atonement. The blood is my redemption. No, the blood is the reason I'm here. The blood gives me boldness. Therefore, they are before the throne of God. Those who practice applying the truth of Jesus Christ's redemption through daily tribulation are given a privileged position that I do not believe is something that just is decided because God likes you or doesn't. It's because you press through like Jacob did and said, I want something that I don't have a right to, but I know what I'm hearing is where my heart is leading and I'm going to go no matter what it costs me. If it costs you everything, that's what it costs. And there they are through the throne of God. And they serve him day and night in his temple. There's a temple in heaven. There's all that we ever saw on the earth is a pattern of what is in heaven. And he who sits on the throne will dwell among them. Beloved, we don't all 15 billion believers, time past and present. I don't know what the number is. We don't all just get the same seat. We all get our seat. Christ said, I go to prepare a place for you. Now that place is yours as we learn to occupy it. But here's the truth. When you see Jesus, choose Jesus, dwell with Jesus, get your heart agree with Jesus, and you begin to worship Jesus and what your heart is seeing and believing and you're applying yourself, guess what? You get a big fat target on your back. And the devil says, there's one of the worshipers that they may indeed, we don't know which one it is, all we just know there's a company that's going to arise that is going to put us completely under the feet of Jesus. And they're going to walk in such sovereignty and peace and joy and victory. We've got to stop that person. You see how their face is beaming in the glory of God? See how their eyes are sparkling? You see the joy that's in their heart? Do you see the sense of confidence? You see the sense of assurance? Quick, do something to get their attention off of the one they're worshiping. So the washer breaks, the car breaks down. Somebody says something awful about you at work. You lose your job. All kinds of natural tests. And as we learn, because none of us do this right the first time, or the second, or the third, or the fifth, or sixth. Because honest is all God expects for you and me to do is to fail. What he's wanting us to learn is to put our faith in the one who did not fail. And know that my place is in Christ, not in how I responded in the crisis. I can get into the crisis or I can just step back into Christ. There I am. So I return. That's the blood, right? I have to remedy. What did I do? Why did I do that? Why did I get so angry? Why did I try so hard? Why did I get so tired? Why am I so lazy? Why do I always want to do this when I shouldn't do that? What are you going to do with all that? You can't go and be better. All you can do is apply the blood, the fulfillment of Jesus Christ, the completeness of what he did, and go, yep, that's enough. God looks at us, he says, you know, man, I like that spunk. And I know how hard it is to keep your eyes on Jesus walking through the earth. I did it. I know how hard it is. I know how much you have to take time to put your attention and agree with me and put the word in. So I've got a place for you. It was a place prepared for you, but you've been applying yourself to enter in the place. You're learning the ropes, you know, learning the kingdom dynamics, you know, the throne room language. You know, throne room talks about Jesus and everything about Jesus. It's all about Jesus and the truth that he accomplished and the victory that he holds and the high exalted place of the high priest. So now that you've spent so much time putting your attention, your affections, your heart direction there, man, let's just start operating from this place. Let's start living from this truth. This is nothing different than Enoch. You ever try to figure, how did Enoch walk with God, please God, and God say, Enoch, you know, there probably some of you get mad at me for doing this, since you're only the seventh generation from Adam, and we haven't even got any of the prophetic words other than the one I gave in the garden, but I think, you know what, I like your company, so I'm going to resurrect, rapture you without any say about anything, and you just come stay with me the rest of for eternity. Now, you see, you can't tell me that God doesn't honor faith. Because in Hebrews 11, when it talks about Enoch, it says, without faith, it's impossible to please him. And he that comes to God must believe, A, he's real. I'm not talking to the ceiling. I always look up when I'm speaking of heaven because that's where heaven is. It's above. I always look down if I'm speaking of the earth and it's conflict and sideways because that's where the earth is and the people that we're dwelling among. So I seek him. I believe he is. I believe he rewards those who diligently seek him. There's not an hour of prayer that doesn't get registered in heaven. I don't think God looks at the hour of prayer and says, what did you do to fix America? What did you do to fix your neighborhood? What did you do to fix your wife? If you can't fix your wife in prayer, I doubt you'll fix America in prayer. You know, the point is, it's not, prayer is not a means to control. Prayer is a means to surrender to the one who is in control, to the Lord. So there they are. Here we are in the dwelling among them. He's dwelling among us. They shall neither hunger nor thirst anymore. The sun shall not strike them, nor any heat. Now, here I have a question for you. If this is speaking of heaven, does that mean we need sunscreen? Seriously, how could a heavenly realm cause a striking by the sun? No, it's talking about living in the heavenly realm that influences the world you're in. You start to walk in a different place. That's why when the two witnesses show up, they're basically running the show. They're totally running the show. Nobody can stop them, and they will do their mouth care. It comes fire. It consumes. It's just totally running the show. That's where we're headed, all of us, into such authority. But we have to go through the learning curve, which is revelation, testing, revelation, testing. Revelation, testing, kind of like lifting weights, building the spiritual muscle of truth in agreement with Jesus Christ. So for the Lamb who is in the midst of the throne. See, I visualize this. I imagine this. I meditate this. I see the Lamb who is in the midst of the throne will shepherd them and lead them, feed them and lead them, the King James calls it, to the living fountains of water. Living fountains. So there's more than one spiritual experience. There's more than one having your thirst quenched. We know that, right? When we kind of backslide and get caught up in our own ways and our own self and our own thing, and we're just kind of living there, and it's okay until something disrupts it and we realize I'm away from the center, then we come back in humility, we confess our sin, where we drifted our way. All of a sudden it comes a season of refreshing. That's a fountain of living water. You're drinking Jesus. And God will wipe away every tear from their eyes. Oh, beloved, God the Father, Jesus, the Son of God, Holy Spirit present always, knows what it costs us to follow Jesus, and he knows the tears that we've cried, the hurt, the pain. And when it says he wipes away, understand, it is the Greek word that he smears it with the anointing. Literally, to go to the source or origin of the pain and just remove it from there to where you are today. That's dealing with the trauma in our lives, the tears in our eyes, the trauma of our life in our lives. And again, this is where we can live from. Go with me to Hebrews, a couple minutes. Hebrews chapter 10 and I will tell you, take us to the present day practice. This is the present day vision, and here's a present day practice of verse 12. Hebrews 10, verse 12. I'm sorry for just jumping in. 2 weeks ago, we got all the way up to here, but I want to just keep going. This man, after he offered one sacrifice for sins forever, sat down at the right hand of God. Let me see. Yes, that's a good place. From that time, the time and space, and when he appeared and took away sin, waiting till his enemies be made his footstool. That's what we're in the summation of. For by one offering, he has perfected, made complete forever those who are being sanctified. See, our coming out of faith, going in disobedience, not listening to his word, not believing the truth that we've been told, walking away from it, doesn't change perfection that he brought forth in his resurrection, including us in that resurrection. And all we are doing is learning to submit and spend time with agreement with this truth of who he is and what he holds. And we know right now, we've been perfected forever. Tell your husband or tell your wife, hey, honey, lay off. I'm perfected forever. Give me a break. I'm perfected forever, but I'm still being sanctified, all right? Making my way into the truth. But the Holy Spirit also witnesses to us after this, he said before. This is the covenant that I will make with them. After those days, says the Lord, I will put my laws in their hearts, and in minds I will write them. I had a vision today while I was praying for all of us early in the morning. I saw the Lord coming in our midst and him just personally writing onto our hearts and into our minds and putting law, things that were coming forth that we couldn't gather from our own intellect or our own study, but we were seeing, oh, yeah, I see, oh, yeah, I see. That's revelation. And that's the relationship we get to know God from, personal encounters, Holy Spirit and truth. Then he adds, their sins and their lawless deeds I will remember no more. Whoa, remember no more. So why are we remembering them? You've got to forget your sin and remember Jesus. Put your faith, let's just keep going because I'll stop right there for a long time. Now where there is remission of these, freedom of these, where sin has been dealt with, there is no longer an offering for sin. So we are not in a conflict when we discover, whoops, I missed my step. I fell out of faith. I began to be stubborn. I got in the flesh. I woke up in the flesh this morning. Did you? I ate breakfast in the flesh. I mean, I wasn't angry, but my flesh is what I was feeding. So we're going to go in and out moments. But he says, no, that's all been dealt with. I don't have to try to fix that wrong. I just have to receive the one who made all wrongs right and just return. Therefore, brethren, now here's the key. Here's what we just read, and we'll close with these few verses. Therefore, brethren, having boldness to enter by the holiest, into the holiest by the blood of Jesus. If you ponder this and practice this, every time we bow the knee to pray, or take a walk to pray, or separate ourselves to worship, or come into the sanctuary to give God honor, come boldly by his blood. I'm accepted. I've been redeemed. I have forgiveness of sin. I'm coming in. When I first imagined this, to sort out my religious imagination, it was all twisted. I had to come into, I saw God sitting in the holiest of holies, but it wasn't so grandiose as what it really is. It was just someone like a father who had a place of importance where he worked from. And I didn't have to see if I could come in. I just knew that with the blood, I could come in. So I would practice coming in. Hi!
I love you. You're Lord. You're Jesus. You're King. I bless you. And I would just do that. And, you know, first your soul goes, you think that's okay? Maybe I should knock first. Don't knock. Just come in. But the blood. Well, how do I do that? By a new and living way, which he consecrated for us through the veil that is his flesh. So to take those words and make them into flesh or to see them, I had to pause. Okay, so your blood paid for the sin. Your resurrection opened a door. And that resurrection is the way I come through. So your flesh. And I thought, well, what happened in your flesh? I go, oh, yeah. You were crucified. And you died. You were buried. You ascended to heaven. And now you're seated at the right hand of majesty on high. So I would say to myself, to the Lord. See, if I talk to the Lord, I can talk to me at the same time. Father, I'm coming boldly by the blood. I'm coming in. I'm not going to let anything to happen yesterday, anything to happen this morning, anything that will happen this evening, stop me. I'm coming in. And how am I coming in? I'm coming in through Jesus, through his death, his burial, his resurrection, his ascension, and into his place of residence and operation at your right hand. And I would just allow myself to step there. So now I'm in Revelation 7 before the throne. Jesus seated at the right hand of the Father on the throne. And so I have placed myself there by faith with truth and Holy Spirit, having a high priest over the house of God. Isn't that cool? You're not just kind of going like creepy critters, like, I hope I can get into this place and not get chilled out. There's Jesus smiling. Come on in. Come on in. Come on in. Come on in, Steve. Come on in. Come on in, dude. Man, I like it when you press through all that trouble and still come and show up. Whoa. And remember, you're going, oh, but are you okay? Well, you know, what happened about, you know, are you okay about what happened yesterday? He goes, what happened yesterday? I don't remember a thing. Either he does or he doesn't. I don't remember a thing. So why are you remembering? So you start to lose that sin consciousness, which all of chapter 10 was dealing with, which we'll get back more into that. And now you have a consciousness of righteousness. Like Romans chapter 4, it says, but in those who believe on him who justifies the ungodly. He doesn't, that's who we are. The ungodly who are being redeemed and learning his ways. Oh, his faith is accounted to him for righteousness. So we have this high priest over the house of God, whose house we are. Let us draw near. We're in. And it just took me a while. I've come boldly by the blood through the living, new and living way consecrated in Jesus Christ into the Holy of Holies. You can't get any closer. You are in the main room. The control center of the universe. All of the pictures of Revelation are centered in that spot. Let us now draw near with a true heart and full assurance of faith. I love that. I used to try to talk out my soul and get it all sorted out. So I felt like God and we had an understanding. And then I would go and try to appropriate who Jesus was and live from that new place. And I realized I never got into the real place because I was always busy about me. So I just put Jesus in front of me, claimed all that he had done was for me and all that he had done was mine, and now I'm here in the throne room, like beaming like my grandson Mikey. Here, Papa. I'm here, Papa. Here, Papa. Hi, Papa. And I could come with the full assurance of faith. Faith in what? Faith in Jesus Christ. Faith in the blood that is my remission. Faith in the new way I just came through. Faith in my high priest. So now we can process. I process things in the glorious presence of God I could never sort out in my soul room. I got off the soul train. I'm in that spiritual pilgrimage. And I'm in the place before God. And I go, oh, man, I am so tired today. I am getting worn out, but I know you're more than enough. I have this conflict going inside of me, but I know you're the truth. So I just accept the truth, even in the midst of the conflict. And I need to verbalize my conflict, because my conflict will stay conflicting if I keep stuffing. So let's just say what I feel. But what I feel isn't saying what you are. You are righteous and made holy and bless my life beyond anything I'll ever have. See, this is what David did when he wrote Psalms. God, you're the greatest. I hate my life, but you're the greatest. God, you're the best. Kill my enemies. God, I love you. He had an innate way, because his heart is seeking the face. True heart, full assurance, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience. You see, we start to have that. We are to live a daily life in salvation without regrets. Without any regret, without any shame, without any blame, without any past memory of the past that has ruined our future. None of it. Just amazed at the future that's in Christ that we have, that who he is, we are becoming. Ah. Have our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. We learn, we recalibrate, we go, oh, yeah, okay, get it, I'm getting it. And then it says, let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering, for he who promised is faithful. In this present, in this holy of holies, given time to honor the one who made it possible, to behold the one, to worship him, to accept him. What will come alive in the Spirit of God is the awareness that your conscience is free. You're clean. You're accepted. And your body will become, again, fortified to pursue. I'm going after you. I'm not stopping. I only got one life to live, and only what's done in Christ will last. So I'm going in. Further in, higher up. And then what comes alive is, psst, hey, Steve, I'm the Holy Spirit. And it's my job, according to my job description by Jesus, is to remind you of everything Jesus ever said to you. I'm also here to guide you into the truth and tell you things that are yet to come. I'm here to testify of the Lord. I'm here to announce to you everything that's Jesus is yours. And over time, he says the same thing again and again, because he doesn't change his storyline. Your calling was in Christ before time began. Your sanctification was. So he just keeps reminding us. After a while, what we hear, we can repeat. We declare the decree. And we say back, Lord, I know you're going to do the most awesome thing ever happened in the earth. The great outpouring of the Holy Spirit is but days. It's upon us now. I praise you. I worship you. Salvation extended, Jesus is Lord. Scriptures start bubbling up. It's called the confession of hope. It is the most celebrated part of your worship, is what you say back to God that he said to you. It is the most celebrated. And it is the distinction between maturity and childishness, or infancy. That's what the Bible calls it. Infancy is the non-speaking. We have our little Kaya with us this weekend. She's just a year old. Man, she talks continually, but you don't know what she's saying. But she's talking because she's learning to hear and to say and to say and to hear. And there's so much communication. That's all we're learning in prayer. But the more we begin to have this, this is what the Lord has said to me. This is what the Lord has said to me. And we just offer back to him. I believe what you said is true. I don't know how it'll ever happen. I'm not looking at me to make it happen. I'm not looking at someone else to stop it from happening. I'm just looking at you. You're able to perform what you promise. He says, there's the business. This is the reigning. This is where, by the time we get into Revelation chapter 12, we're in this kind of authority. I mean, we're shutting down the second heaven trafficking. We're shutting down all kinds of accusation, condemnation, schemes of the wicked one. We're starting to see nations topple and kings that are refusing the rule of Jesus Christ, bowing their knee and kissing the Son in great conversion, or dying suddenly. And we're not doing any of it. We're not in this highfalutin going, I'm going to kill this person, let that person live. I don't have a clue what to do.
All I got to do is keep my eyes on Jesus, worship and praise, believe and receive. But when we're all in that place, Revelation 12 just simply says we start ruling, we start displacing. We just start displacing the wicked spirits of wickedness in heavenly places. Then we say, sorry, we just don't have room for you anymore. You're trafficking in a realm that is not yours. Christ has purchased in his resurrection all of the communications of this realm. And we're not going to compete with you. We're not even going to try to get commercials on your channel. We're just simply saying the blood shuts all accusation down against all believers and all of God's creation and opens the door for salvation. The testimony that I've been carrying in the presence of God is the future that is mine no matter what I just did yesterday. My future is Christ. And I happen to be so full of the Holy Spirit, I'm having a good time whether even if I have to die. And that's the church in her maturity. Hallelujah. All right, we're going to pause there. That's a great place. We'll start up next week. Doesn't it make you just want to get saved again? That's what I do. I get saved every single day. I get saved again. I just mean if I miss a day of getting prayer, I don't feel I'm saved. I want to feel saved. I want to feel this. I want to go and see. And I want to behold, and I want to be influenced, and I want to be lifted, and it's so good. And we are a house that's been doing that. And most of us in this house have paid a great price to be in this sanctuary at this time. That's why God has chosen this house as a special place of him showing himself in the future. Because you have paid a great price, that making your garments white with the blood. And I just believe right now the Lord would just continue to bring a healing moment. So I want to take those who want to have the touch of the Father before the throne and the shepherd of our soul. You're ready to receive a renewing, tears being wiped, sun being backed off, pressure being released, blood being sufficient, food, fountains. We'd like to ask you to stand up because I want to declare the decree the Lord has said to me over us as Jubilee. In Hebrews chapter 7, been there so faith has risen. Revelation chapter 7. And I'll begin to declare over you, and I'm going to personalize the words. You simply receive. Receive it, and then carry it with you back into prayer. Revelation 7 verse 9, if you can place that up. After these things, this message, and this morning, I looked and I beheld a great multitude in Jubilee, a great multitude of the body of Jesus Christ, which no one could number, of all nations and tribes and peoples and tongues, standing before the throne and before the Lamb, clothed with white robes, with palm branches in their hands. Now again, setting affection on our mind, here we are before the throne. We got white robes that literally mean robes of light, illuminating light, white, like the transfiguration of Christ. Palm branches, worship, Sukkot, feast, tabernacles, welcoming, behold. See ourselves. And they were crying out. We are crying out with a loud voice saying, let's say it together. Salvation belongs to our God who sits on the throne and to the Lamb. Yeah. That's where it is. That's where it is. Nowhere else. And all the angels stood around the throne and all the elders and the four living creatures. And they all fell down on their faces before the throne and worshiped God. Hear the sound of adoration, of surrender, of praise. And let us hear and join with them and say together, amen. Blessing and glory and wisdom
thanksgiving and honor and power and might be to our God forever and ever. Amen. 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 Then one of the angels answered and said, "Who are these standing arrayed in white robes? Where did they come from? I knew you knew, so tell me." And he said, "These here amongst us in this company are the ones who come out of great tribulation and washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. Therefore, they are before the throne of God and serve him day and night in his temple. And he who sits on the throne will dwell among them." This is us. Receive your place. Receive your robes have been made white by the blood of the Lamb in the pressure of this life. See and receive their God dwelling in the midst of us. See and receive that there is now coming a fresh blessing from heaven to walk these days ahead, knowing that the world may be in turmoil, being shaken apart, and all its seams being torn apart. Yet we shall walk in a glorious place of preservation and blessing. We will not hunger anymore. We will not thirst anymore. The sun will not strike us anymore, nor any of the heat. We'll be impervious to the world's systems and its beggarly elements of this planet because of a supernatural transference that's taking place. Just like the translation of Philip to another city and of Jesus from Emmaus back to Jerusalem. We're having, praise you, Jesus. Praise you, Jesus. I see it on us. See it on this company. For the Lamb. Everybody say, for the Lamb is in the midst of the throne. Will shepherd and lead us to living fountains of water. And God will wipe away every tear from our eyes. Yeah. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. So I bless, hold this thought. Because you want to return with Jesus in this thought tomorrow, later this day. Dwell here. Every time you feel yourself drift, return. This is your home. This is our home. This is our home. This is our home. This is our inheritance. This is where we're going to reign on earth as kings and priests from. Bless you. Bless you. Bless you. Oh, Holy Spirit. one more time and then we'll go home and into the future.
You are beautiful, beautiful by God. You are glorious, glorious, my King of Kings. You are wonderful, wonderful, God Most High. You are beautiful, beautiful by God.
Father, Holy Spirit, Jesus, we receive you. You have received us. Seal this place in our heart that we might return in our daily prayer and enlarge this place that you prepared for us, Jesus, to dwell in the midst of your throne, in the midst of your kingdom, of your kindness, of your righteousness, your peace, your joy. We bless the body of Jesus in Jubilee. And every member of the body of Jesus in Jubilee, fresh anointing, fresh faith, fresh joy through this week of returning in your presence. Now bless the prayers for the nations as Larry and Melanie begin to travel through the world, calling the nations the inheritance of our Lord Jesus and the ends of the earth his possession. In Jesus' name. And bless our neighbors sitting next to us and the neighborhoods we live in and work at. And create great favor and grace among each other. Let love now begin to spill out to every body, every member of households and families in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. God bless. Love you all.